tuned into Black Hollywood Live, the world's first digital broadcast network devoted entirely to urban entertainment and pop culture. Tune in right now.
Hi, everybody. My goodness, I'm hearing stuff in my ear, and that's my fault. Because I didn't mute stuff. But anyway, hey, happy Mother's Day, everybody. Thank you so much for joining me. I see everybody is in the chat room, willing and waiting. Thank you so much. We had a little technical difficulty action, but you know, this whole Zoom situation and streaming situation in this different format, not being in the studio, it's a process. So thank you for hanging with us, sister. And I thank my producer, Ryan, for working it out because he's thebomb.com. So having said that, y'all, let's get right on into it. But before I get into it, let me just acknowledge that if you have a mother or you came from somebody that was a mother, give your mama some love. Call her, text her, email her, give her a virtual hug. I mean, it's Mother's Day. We got to acknowledge those moms. So let me tell y'all a quick, real quick story real quick. So my brother and I decided to surprise my mother. So we went and we ordered this really expensive brunch for my mother. I made my mother stay up ridiculously late so that she would sleep late so I could sneak out and go get the breakfast and come back home. And then I would call my brother, and my brother had done a video tribute to my mom. And so I would have the breakfast all set up and then go wake her up and bring her down. We'd have the breakfast and then I'd show her the video tribute. I went to go get that food. But let me give a shout out to Sweet Butter Kitchen in Sherman Oaks, California, and the manager, Andrew, because he got cussed out on the regular today. They had more orders than they knew what to do with. And it was it was very trying and very stressful for them. But you know what? It just like this situation that we went through today here at BHL, the whole situation with ordering from your favorite restaurants is a process too. So I thank you for having my mom's order ready for me. It took a minute, but it was ready. And she thoroughly enjoyed it. She said it was delicious and she was in tears. So hopefully you guys had a great Mother's Day with your mom. If your mom is no longer here, then I'm sure there's someone in your life that is like, you know, a play mom or somebody that is a mother figure in your life. And I hope that you are able to reach out to them and send them some love and spend a little time with them today. Okay. So having said that, I want to go through a couple of things. So I've made up a list of the top 10 women who have won Oscars for playing a mom, right? And I came up with this really cool list. So here we go. Shirley MacLaine in Terms of Endearment. Honey, that scene where she's in that hospital talking about give me the pill, I'm just saying. Joan Crawford and Mildred Pierce dealing with that little bratty ass daughter that she had. She deserved that Oscar for that. Katharine Hepburn and Guess Who's Coming to Dinner showed that love bond that a mother and daughter have when, you know, they get all caught up in the feeling of love, the aura of love. But that was a wonderful mom that won an Oscar too. Diane Carroll and Claudine. We can't forget about Diane Carroll and Claudine. Meryl Streep and Kramer versus Kramer. I wanted to kill her. She was so selfish, but she was fierce. Monique and Precious. Monique was like the worst mother ever, but she did her thing and took home that Oscar. Brie Larson in Room, who was the best mom ever under the most dire of circumstances. Sandra Bullock in The Blind Side, who showed what happens when someone doesn't come out of your body, but you love them just the same. And Julia Roberts in Erin Brockovich, who, you know, proved that, you know, tenacity and guts pay off. Even if you look like a beauty queen, they still pay off. That was the lesson from that. I'm just kidding. It wasn't. But she was great in that movie. And last but not least, Halle Berry and Monster. Don't you remember she had that little fat baby, little fat little boy who got killed and she kind of lost her mind and she won the Oscar for that. So I wanted to give homage and props to those women for those roles. All right. Now, moving on. I am from St. Louis, Missouri. Y'all know this. I talk about being from St. Louis all the time. All the time. And so I usually, if I can find a film or a filmmaker that is from St. Louis or has done something that is highlighting St. Louis, I try to introduce them to the people that watch me here at Black Hollywood Live. And this week, it is a documentary called The Color of Medicine. It is about this hospital in St. Louis that was named after an attorney named Homer G. Phillips. And we talk about that, but I interviewed the director, the producer, Joyce Marie Fitzpatrick, And I want you guys to listen and watch a little bit of that interview, and then we'll come back right after that. Okay? My mom and dad were born and raised in St. Louis, and my mother was born in Homer G. Phillips Hospital. She was born there 2 years after it opened.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah, my mom was born in 1939 and the hospital opened in 1937. So when this came through my email, I'm like, oh, let me find out what's going on with Homer G. Phillips, because when I was growing up, my generation used to refer to Homer G. Phillips Hospital as Killer Phillips. Because nobody that went into the hospital ever came out alive. Which is really horrible to say now that I know the history of it is. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So what, I know that you have, based on what I read about you, you have an affinity of wanting to tell stories about humanity, people that are real life breathing human beings, like with your documentary Stagecoach Mary and Sunshine Noodles and Me. So what brought you to Homer G. Phillips? Because this is also not only a person, but an institution.
Thank you, by the way, for the research. I did not plan on doing documentaries. It's just, for some reason, you know, as a filmmaker, you just gravitate towards the things that interest you. And when I did Stagecoach Mary, that was a personal thing. It was just, I love Westerns, grew up on Westerns, and I'm from the Midwest as well, but I'm from Indianapolis. And this will all lead into why I ended up doing and working on Homer G. Phillips. Growing up in Indianapolis, Indiana, you only have 3 months of summer, so you basically watch television and all that, you know. So that is, it really speaks to the community of that movie, because the neighborhood that I grew up in, the doctor who lived across the street from us, during that time, like what it states in the film, doctors, lawyers, you know, the trash man, everyone lived in the same neighborhood. It wasn't where there was this separation. Now, granted, it was a very nice neighborhood, I will say. Thank goodness for my parents. My father was an entrepreneur. So that helped with that. But I used to babysit Dr. Robinson's daughter, who is the person that reached out to me. An amazing story. Yeah, and it speaks so much to community, because we have known one another all our lives, but, you know, I was 12 years old when I started babysitting her, and she was like 3. And when she reached out to me as an adult, I didn't know who she was, because, you know, I'd moved to California. And so, you know, when people become adults, it's like, you know, and then with the social media, there was no picture. It was just her name, and her name had changed because she was married. And so when she reached out to me, I was like, well, who are you? You know, and then when she says, I'm Becky Boo, who is what I used to call her as a child. And I was like, oh my God, it's so great to hear from you. So once I spoke with her, she says, will you please talk to my father, because he has this amazing story he wants to share with you. Her father, Dr. Earl U. Robinson Jr., reached out to me. I was like, this is an amazing story. You know, and then he also has a blog, which I would definitely recommend your viewers to check out, and yourself as well. It's called Uriah's Chronicles, because his middle name is U, and it's Uriah, very unique name. Right. And when I read through the Chronicles, I was just like, I can't believe all these things happened. I just can't believe it. And so but at that time, we were in the process of shooting Sunshine Noodles and Me. So in the meantime, Dr. Robinson was kind of feeding me information and telling me who were the people that, you know, to reach out to. And what was interesting, though, I had asked him, I was like, you know, this is such an amazing story. Why hasn't someone else, you know, brought this, you know, to the forefront? And he says, well, unfortunately, most of the people that he went to school with or whatever have passed away. A lot of people have passed away. So he says, I'm still here, and I've been the one that's been really pushing to get this film out there or to get the story out there. Because at the time, we didn't know what was going to happen. We didn't have any funding. We didn't have anything. It was just us trying to figure it out. So in that process, we were looking at grants and looking at contests. And, you know, we were just trying to figure out what to do. And so we all put our heads together and we decided to do the crowdsource funding. And thank goodness, all of the people that contributed to that is how the film got made. I'm from the Midwest, and I have to admit, I love White Castle. That's my thing.
Right? Love that you said, I love White Castle, girl, because when I go home, this is what I have to have every time I go home. I get White Castle, Steak and Shake, Emo's Pizza, and,
oh my
Chinese, and Chinese food, because St. Louis got the best Chinese food in the country.
Wow. Now that I have to try. We have to, when Brian and I go back, we have to try that. Now, I will agree with you. Of course, White Castle is a hands down for my family, period. It's a hands down.
I said my mother was born there, but my dad still lives in St. Louis. And when he came back to St. Louis. Being out west. Yeah, my dad still lives there. And when he was living out west for a little while, and then he went back to St. Louis. But when he went back to St. Louis, he was trying to, you know, find a senior living facility to live in. And he applied for Homer G and they turned him down. They said he made too much money. Which made me laugh out loud. I was like, that's hilarious.
No.
With people like Homer G. Phillips in America, they seem to be erased from history. Just like the women mathematicians that were featured in the Hidden Figures movie. And just like Dr. Don Shirley in Green Book, these people have been erased from history, not African-American history, but American history. And we didn't even know about those two people until those films came out. Now, for me, I didn't know that Homer G. Phillips, and I'm embarrassed to admit this, I didn't know that Homer G. Phillips was named after an actual person. And I didn't know what his contribution was to society and to St. Louis history until I saw your documentary. So I thank you for that. But moving forward, how do you think we can stop this from happening to people of color? Because it's become a habit.
I think that what needs to happen, it goes back to what I said before about community. And even though we were in Indianapolis, you know, this happened in St. Louis, it's a matter of keeping that communication open. Keep their children informed about history. Because when we were having screenings, because we did private screenings around the nation, generally parents would come up and say, thank you for doing this, because can I bring my children to this film? Because they need to know their history. But it's amazing to me that the history is out there and we're not aware of it. Like you said, how can we keep this alive? I think with all of the new generation of African-American filmmakers out there, and with all of the new technologies and all of the new avenues that are opening up for us, I think it is our duty. I don't think it's a choice. I think it is part of our duty, but I do think it is a responsibility of African-Americans and other people of color to tell their own stories. And now we don't have any excuse. We have no excuse. You can use your phone.
I'm glad that I had an opportunity to talk to you. I learned so much more about Homer G. Phillips Hospital and the person than I ever, ever knew. And I watched it with my mom, and my mother was extremely excited because there were people in the documentary that she went to high school. My mother went to high school there. She went to Sumner. So she went to Sumner with with Ron Gregory. She went to high school with Ron Gregory. She had Mary Tillman. She worked with Mary Tillman when she was a nurse. My mother's a registered nurse. So I thought it would be great for her to watch this and share this opportunity with me. But I wanted to thank you so much for taking time. Please travel safe. Be safe, be safe, be safe. And I will do as much as I can to get the word out about your documentary. I loved it.
So thank you. And thank your mom and your dad for just the treasure of being a part of St. Louis. And our whole team from the Homer G. Phillips film, we applaud you guys for caring and wanting to see the film. And don't forget, it's going to be on VOD on May 12th. And after that, it will be available through other streaming services. And it is also available on DVD for those who would like to purchase it as a keepsake. So we really appreciate it. Thank
you. Yay. Thank you. See you soon.
You're welcome. Bye-bye.
Bye. I hope you guys thoroughly enjoyed that interview. I really loved talking to Joyce Marie Fitzpatrick. She is usually here in LA, but she was traveling at the time that I spoke to her, and the Wi-Fi was a little bit spotty in the hotel that she was in. So that's why I had to do a lot of jump cuts, because I didn't really want to see her face freezing on the screen. But I really, really want to thank her for taking some time out of her travel to speak with me. Again, this documentary is called The Color of Medicine, The Homer G. Phillips Story. It is directed, written, and produced by Joyce Marie Fitzpatrick, Brian Shackelford, in association with Black Cat Productions and Tunnel Vision Films. It is available video on demand on May 12th, or you can go to thecolorofmedicine.com and order your own DVD copy. Anybody that is from St. Louis, Missouri will get their tee-hee-hee on. What I will say about it, it was very informative. Homer G. Phillips was an attorney. He was a civil rights activist in St. Louis, Missouri. He was murdered. This is what I really want to say. He was murdered by two Black men. They were arrested, they were tried, and they were not convicted. That would never happen today. It's worth watching a documentary just for that story alone. All right, moving on. Natalie Wood. Natalie Wood was one of my favorite movie stars ever, ever, ever. The very first time I ever saw her, it was in a movie really late one night with my mom, and it was called Inside Daisy Clover, and Robert Redford played her boyfriend who was gay. But that's a whole nother story. But she was, you guys may not know her name, this generation may not know her name, but you will know her from this. She was Maria in West Side Story. She was the little girl in The Miracle on 34th Street. She was in Rebel Without a Claw. Rebel Without a Cause. She was in Splendor in the Grass. She was in another one of my favorite movies called Marjorie Morningstar. I could cite her resume all day long, but there's a new documentary on HBO called Natalie Wood, What Remains Behind, and it is directed and produced and hosted by Natasha Gregson-Wagner, and that's Natalie Wood's daughter, who bears a striking resemblance to her and sounds exactly like her when she speaks. It's a little freaky, but upon the murder investigation of Natalie Wood being reopened, Natasha wanted to do a documentary, if nothing else, to remind people of her mother's body of work, because there's been so much focus on when Natalie Wood died, how Natalie Wood died, whether or not Robert Wagner killed her, whether or not Natalie Wood was having an affair with Christopher Walken, that people seem to have forgotten over the years that this was a very gifted actress who had been acting from the time she was 5 years old and had a huge body of work in some iconic classic films. So she wanted to remind people about that. She also wanted to talk to, you know, just get it from the horse's mouth. She interviews Robert Wagner and point blank asks him what happens on the boat that night. And so we get a very detailed story from him about what happened to Natalie Wood that night when she died. So that's that. If you know anything about this story or this murder investigation, and just to reiterate, the murder investigation is about Natalie Wood drowned. She was deathly afraid of water, and she was in Catalina with Christopher Walken and Robert Wagner on a yacht and somehow ended up in the water and drowned. But nobody seems to, it's still an unsolved mystery. No one knows how she got in the water. No one knows how she drowned. Like, it's this big unsolved mystery. But Robert Wagner does, you know, give his version of the story. And if you know anything about this story over the years, you're not going to learn anything new. You may learn some things new from the people that knew her, like Robert Redford and Mia Farrow and some other people that may have worked for her, like her personal secretary, RJ's personal secretary, but you're not really gonna learn anything new, but it is a good documentary and I highly suggest watching it. Another film that I saw was a film that I absolutely love because it stars one of my favorite up and coming stars. Her name is Beanie Feldstein. She's in this film on IFC Films called How to Build a Girl, and it premiered last year at TIFF, wow, at a film festival. We don't know when we're going to see one of those again. But it premiered at the 2019 Toronto International Film Festival. And it's based on a book by Caitlin Moran, who also wrote the screenplay. And it's about this young teen who literally goes from being a geek to like this badass rock music critic and has a little self-discovery along the way from herself, from her family members, from this guy she kind of sort of gets involved with, and from idols that she has plastered on her wall, like Donna Summer and Sylvia Plath, to name just a few. Beanie Feldstein is like the queen of the coming of age comedies. She's the queen of coming of age comedies. Remember her last year from Booksmart? Well, this one it focuses completely on her. She's holding her own in this film. She is the star of this film, and she is holding it down from the first frame to the last. Her clothes are hot. She's looking like Magenta from Rocky Horror Picture Show. But I feel like if this film had had an opportunity to open in the theaters, the clothes would be a trend, her hair color would be a trend, it would be a whole situation. But I highly suggest watching it. It is on video on demand right now at IFC Films. Now, last weekend, or sometime within the last couple of weeks, a film opened on Netflix called All Day and a Night. And it's about generational incarceration amongst one family of Black men. And Jeffrey Wright plays the dad, and Joe Robert Cole, who was the co-writer on Black Panther, the big blockbuster hit from Marvel and Disney, Black Panther. Joe Robert Cole was the co-writer on that, and he is the writer, director, and producer of All Day and a Night. And I sat down with them courtesy of AFCA, the African American Film Critics Association, at one of their virtual roundtables. And I would love for y'all to take a look and take a listen to this conversation right here. It's going to blow your head off.
Hey, everybody. I'm Carla Renata, the Curvy Critic here in Los Angeles. Joe, you put lots of kernels and nuggets throughout the script when you were writing, like one of them where you say slavery taught Black people how to survive but not how to live. Yeah. And there's another one that you said, everyone has a moment when they'll live a great life. Have you reached that moment in your life where you've had that moment just yet?
It's interesting. My grandma used to say that my family didn't grow up with a silver spoon in our mouth. You know, I traversed the world of this story at different times, you know, as a fly on the wall, but, you know, based on our socioeconomic background. But I never once doubted that I would be successful, because part of that was the love of my family. And my mother would always tell me that. And so I feel very, very fortunate to be in a position to even tell stories at all based on where I started from. But I also understand that for me wasn't something where I'm going, oh, I'm never gonna make it. I wasn't in the exact same situation that a character like Ashton's character was in, or the characters in that community. So I feel like I've talked around that answer, and I haven't really answered it, but that's the best I got.
That's all right. Do you have anything to add to that, Jeffrey?
My answer kind of relates to what Joe was saying in some regard, because it's all relative in some ways, but I think there were moments, and it relates to the film, there were moments in my childhood where I found joy and where I found a sense of place. And that was through my family. And there was, and the thing that came to my mind were very specific memories and around the same event. And the event was a thing that would get me up in the morning 4:30, and nothing gets me up in the morning at 4:30. If I'm barely asleep by then, but 4:30, 5 o'clock in the morning, I would be getting up as a kid, like willingly, and heading out on my grandfather's boat. My grandfather was a waterman, or oysterman and crabber, down in Virginia on the Chesapeake Bay, and he would. On Saturdays, occasionally, he would take the family out and friends, and we would go out and we would fish until the fish ran out. And those days were perfect in my eyes. And they told me at that time, they kind of programmed me with thinking that I could, you know, we could find place, and we could find joy, and we could find greatness. And so it wasn't defined by accomplishments. It wasn't defined by, but it was defined by moments like that, that gave me a window, I guess, of optimism through which to view the world. But it was grounded in the simple things. It was grounded in family, you know?
That was beautiful. Thank you so much, all of you.
Talking to Jeffrey Wright, and that story that he told toward the end of the interview was absolutely beautiful. So once again, thank you to Jeffrey Wright, Joe Robert Cole from All Day and a Night, now streaming on Netflix, and to the African American Film Critics Association for giving me the opportunity to attend their virtual round table. Now, let me talk about this movie that I saw. It is called Spaceship Earth, and it is streaming on Neon. So this is the thing. It was like this really weird science experiment situation where they had this thing called Biosphere 2, and it was kind of like a sustainable pod in the middle of like a field somewhere, and they were trying to figure out pretty much how to do what we're going through right now. So with COVID-19, you know, we're starting to have some issues with the meat that we're trying to eat, with the chickens and the meat plants and everything. And so in a minute, people are going to have to start eating plant-based meals because we're not going to be able to get any meat or seafood or any of those types of things. But back in the day, this Spaceship Earth experiment back in 1991, all of this was going down. It ended up coming to a huge head because, you know, money, greed, people wanting to take credit over stuff became a huge thing. So and then some CO1 and some CO2 issues came into play. And I'm not sure if what they were doing was legal or not. And then when Steve Bannon got involved in it, you knew it was going to be some mess. And if y'all remember, Steve Bannon was working in the Trump administration. So that was a whole nother situation. And he brought in the feds. Why did he bring in the feds? Because he wasn't sure that this Spaceship Earth, this Biosphere 2 experiment was actually about global change. And so then there was tension between some of the owners, Mr. Bass and Mr. Allen, who were involved in it. It was this whole big fight, but it's actually a very fascinating documentary because it gives you a little bit of an inkling of what we might have to go through now, post-coronavirus, post-COVID-19, post-pandemic. So I highly suggest watching it. Again, it's called Spaceship Earth, and it is streaming on Neon right now. Now, I also want to tell you about this other documentary that I saw called Becoming. It's based off of the best-selling book by former First Lady Michelle Obama. And it basically is a love letter to herself, really, because she talks about how she felt being in the White House, what that experience was like for her, what it was like for her children, what it was like to be literally plucked from obscurity and then placed in front of the biggest fishbowl ever on the face of the planet. And she also did say that she felt like all the work that her and Barack Obama did as president and first lady of our country, when the 2016 election rolled around and it turned out the way that it did, she felt like it was a big slap in the face to them for all the work that they did, you know, for people not to get out and vote. So if you have an opportunity to do a mail-in vote, because we are in a pandemic, we don't know if we're going to be able to go out and vote like we've done before. If you are not registered, please register to vote. If you can mail in your vote, please register to get a mail-in ballot. I think they're about to make that mandatory. But if you have a mom, if you have a grandmother, you know, maybe you guys could get together virtually and watch Becoming. It is so inspiring and it's so telling about what this woman had to go through, this Black woman in America. It was really quite wonderful. So having said all of that, let me hit you with some news real fast. I want to say rest in peace to three people that died within the last 24 to 48 hours. And those people are Little Richard, Betty Wright, and Andre Harrell. When I was a publicist back in the day, I worked very closely with Andre Harrell on artists that he worked with and people that he worked with. And I didn't know him, but I worked closely, you know, with his companies and things as a music industry publicist. So that was a huge loss. Allegedly, he passed away from a heart attack. He had some heart issues, and that came from his ex-wife. We don't know. I'm not quite sure what the cause of death is was for Betty Wright. But for those of you not familiar with Betty Wright, she was a bad mama jamma. She was an R&B singer, and her big hit was this song called The Cleanup Woman. It was the bomb. I used to sing it all the time. But rest in peace to her. And Little Richard, honey, who don't know Little Richard? I remember one time I was at the post office and ran into Little Richard, and he tried to jump the line. And I was like, really? And he turned around and jokingly, in his little snarky, this little thing that he was always known for saying, he turned around, he was like, shut up. I was like, okay, Little Richard, all right, I'm gonna shut up. But it was really funny. But rest in peace to all of those people. I wanna tell you that some Oscar-winning projects are going to be banned from Emmy competition starting in 2021. Basically, what that means is there had been some crossover with shows, with things that were nominated for Emmys, and then they would still be eligible to get nominated for an Oscar. So in both situations, that's really not going to happen any longer. There's going to be Louis Leterrier is making a Netflix deal to direct Will Smith and Joel Edgerton in Bright 2, which is going to be a reteaming of them from the first one. And that is... yeah, so there's that. Mission Impossible has been pushed to pre-Thanksgiving. Florence Pugh, Shia LaBeouf, Chris Pine are set for Olivia Wilde's new line thriller. It's a psychological thriller set in an isolated utopian community in the 1950s California desert. And as you remember, Olivia Wilde was the director, star, and producer of Booksmart, which I mentioned earlier when I talked about Beanie Feldstein. Scoob, I know Brandon loves this news. Scoob is opening this week on May 15th, and I will have an interview next week, y'all, with Kiersey Clemons, who is playing Falcon Fury Pilot. She's playing Falcon Fury Pilot Dee Dee, and I'm also going to have an interview coming up with Homecoming's Janelle Monáe. Homecoming is a series on Amazon Prime. Janelle Monáe is going to speak with me about that. So I have that interview coming up next week. We're going to be talking to Deion Taylor, who is the director of Fatale, which stars Hilary Swank. And then the week after that, we're going to have DJ Shangela Pierce, who's going to talk about her new series that's happening, where she is helping in sprinkling that fairy dust, AKA Tu Wong Fu, that, you know, kind of like that Tu Wong Fu movie, but it's kind of like real life, and now it's on a reality series. So that's happening, and DJ Shangela Pierce is doing that. So I think that just about does it for me, you guys, this week. Thank you so much for hanging in there with us for all of our news, all of our technical difficulties. Again, happy Mother's Day for anybody that is a mother, for anyone that has a mother, for anyone that has a mother-like figure, like a godmother, an auntie, a friend, whatever. Reach out, give them a virtual hug, give them some love, call them on the phone, text them, do whatever you need to do. Because this is the thing, everyone in life who started with a life has a mother. So give me some thumbs up to let me know you were here. I would love to see you here. The other thing is, let me know what you want to see from me from now on. If you have something particular that you'd like me to talk about, let me know. Reach down in that little chat down there and tell me all about it. Thank you for everybody that was in the chat today. Andre Phillip, Marlon Wallace, Michael B. Who else is up in here? Brandon Heaton. Not Faye, Ray. And Ray Golding. Thank you guys so much for tuning in. I really appreciate you. And you can catch me right after this over at AfterBuzz TV doing the General Hospital After Show. And again, on Monday at AfterBuzz doing the Insecure After Show. But until then, come right back here to Carla Renata, the Curvy Critic with Carla Renata on Black Hollywood Live. And catch me talking to Deion Taylor next week. And until then, y'all, love, peace, and hair grease. I'll see you next time. Deuces.
On behalf of our BHL staff, we would like to thank you for tuning in to Black Hollywood Live, the world's first digital broadcast network devoted entirely to urban entertainment and pop culture. Check out our Black Hollywood Live YouTube page for even more great programming and amazing content. And be sure to subscribe and like our channel when you do. I'm your BHL host, Nakia Monet, and you can find me on all social media at Kiki Boom Boom or at Black Hollywood Live. Black Hollywood Live, Hollywood redefined.